Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. Welcome to day two of our environment article for the month of February. And we're discussing a very interesting topic about space junk. That is just garbage, thousands of tiny, tiny bits of debris out in space as a result of sending different crafts out there, such as satellites or rockets, and they're causing problems, and people are trying to figure out what to do about it. Well, before we get into some of the solutions that people have come up with, let me welcome back my friends. We have Pauline here. How are you doing, Pauline?
I'm doing great. I'm really curious to see if any solutions have been found for this unsurprising problem.
That's right. Yeah, it is a big problem that I never thought about before reading this article.
But no, it's really new to my awareness as well.
Yeah. All right. And we also have Josh here, and it's good to have Josh here because he is very technical minded. So he helps to make things a little bit easier to understand.
Well, thank you. And it's very good to be back because I love talking about space and what happens out there.
All right, so let's review a little bit. What is the problem that we're describing here?
So we're talking about the hotbed of trash that is outer space right now.
Right.
So we got to learn that nice little phrase, hotbed, which mm-hmm. just means an area that's has a lot of a particular problem. In this case, space has a lot of trash in it. This particularly the space that is near Earth, orbiting near Earth, it's filled with all this debris that can cause some major problem for other functioning satellites, rockets, spaceships that we want to continue to send into space, but now have to deal with all of this debris that could easily destroy those aircraft.
Right. How did this debris get out there in the first place?
Well, that's a very good question. But mainly we sent it there.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this came from very different sources. Some of it was just natural things that have fallen off rockets as the course of sending them up into space. Some have been satellites that have passed their prime and are no longer being used. And so they've been just left to fly around out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then others, of course, have happened because of accidents. So like we saw yesterday, satellites, active ones, or slamming into inactive ones or vice versa,
mm-hmm.
and creating a lot of debris all over the place.
That's right. So there is basically a lot of junk out there, 7,000 metric tons of it, in fact. And people are trying to figure out what to do because even just the smallest, tiniest grain of sand out there could cause a big problem, right? Because just of how fast everything is traveling out in space. And the problem right now is that no one is really taking responsibility, right?
Right. There's so many different governments and different corporations mm-hmm. and private interests putting stuff up into space, and there's no one governing body. So it's really hard to say whose job it is in order to police everybody else.
Right. And the thing is, it's not like you could just grab a bunch of volunteers and give each one a garbage bag and say, hey, go pick up some trash, right?
Right. Community service, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Although I think it would be pretty cool if, you know, in order to deal with my traffic tickets, they sent me up into space. I could deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it takes a lot of training, it takes a lot of equipment, and it would just take millions and billions of dollars. So what do you do, right?
Right, and that's once you come up with an idea that they think will really work,
yeah.
Because we also read that some really great minds have worked really hard on coming up with a solution
mm-hmm.
only to get halfway, three quarters through and realize that the math doesn't work out and they have to scratch it and start all over again with trying
right.
to think of another way to go about solving this really pretty difficult problem we have.
Yeah, yeah. So what do we do? Well, there are some companies that have come up with some solutions, and we're going to be discussing that today. So let's get into our article. If you have your Advanced magazine or you have your mobile device, we are on page 33, and we'll start in the middle of the page.
Developing Tether and Tape. Tether's Unlimited, a 40-employee aerospace and defense tech company, took a different approach, addressing the source of the debris. It developed a tether and a tape that are attached to a satellite before launch and deployed at the end of a satellite's life. That should increase its drag and pull it back into the atmosphere. The company also came up with a giant net that would capture objects already in space, addressing the problem in another way. Aerospace Corp's plastic wrap idea, called the Braincraft, is being funded with an early stage grant from NASA. Though only in early theoretical stages, it could be a reasonably inexpensive way of taking out the trash, said Siegfried Janssen, a senior scientist in Aerospace's Microsatellite Systems Department.
So while this may be the first time that some of us are hearing about this problem, there are people who have been studying and researching and coming up with a solution for this problem for quite some time. And the first company we hear about is called Tethers Unlimited, and they are a 40-employee aerospace and defense tech company. And what is their approach to this problem?
So here it says they take a different approach, and that difference is that they're addressing the source of debris. So it's more of a preventative approach for further debris being released into space. It's not necessarily an answer to the 7,000 metric tons that are already out there, but at least as we continue to send more and more satellites out into space, it gives maybe a solution for those.
So they're being more proactive about it, right? So they're taking care of the problem before it becomes a problem.
And this is a very interesting approach because one of the things that's a big consideration when you're sending stuff into space is weight, right? So the heavier something is, more expensive it is to get it up into space. Right. And that's why people who put things in space and people who engineer the satellites and the rockets go up there are very, very weight and space conscious, and so that everything goes up there has a purpose. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the heavier things to send into space is fuel. Mm. So fuel is very heavy, and it takes fuel to get fuel into space, and the more fuel you need, the more fuel you have to burn in order to get it up there. Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of these satellites don't have fuel in order to slow themselves down and put them back into the atmosphere at the end of their usefulness, right? So what they've done is basically they've come up with a lightweight tape or a tether that's long that can be deployed after the satellite is done with its mission, which will then cause a little bit of drag, which will eventually slow the satellite down and naturally pull it back into the atmosphere.
Again, I know this isn't quite as technically correct way of thinking about it, but in my mind, the way I imagine it is sort of like dropping an anchor, right? So they just drop down this line with a heavy thing at the bottom, and that's going to start pulling them down?
Well, it's a very good image or metaphor in order to understand what's happening on here. Now, the anchor is actually, it's not by weight or mass, it's by a drag, so resistance, but it's the exact same principle.
Okay. Good job, Pauline. That was easy to understand. So the idea is they're going to attach this tether and tape to the satellite before launch, and then once the satellite's life has reached its end, they will deploy it, which means they will release it, and this will cause some drag to pull it out of its orbit and then into the atmosphere. Okay. All right, well, that's one way of dealing with it. They are also trying to come up with a giant net, as we mentioned yesterday, to capture objects that are already in space. So they are kind of doing the proactive approach and the preventative approach, but also they're coming back and doing, okay, well, what do we do with the stuff that's already out there?
Right.
Okay. All right, well, now we hear from another company called Aerospace Corporation, and we mentioned them a little bit yesterday and the idea of this smart plastic wrap. What is this smart plastic wrap called?
Well, they're creating a sort of a craft called the Braincraft, right, which is sort of a little bit of a play because brain, even though it's spelled differently here, kind of makes you think of a brain, which would be smart plastic wrap, right? And that this is also being funded by NASA, which is, of course, the Space Administration in the United States that is responsible for sending rockets up into space. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing here is they're still taking it through the theoretical stages. So the theoretical stage means that it's just the ideas that are related to this project or this subject, and not the actual practical use. So they're still running through how this would exactly work. But the idea then would be then a reasonably inexpensive way to go up and deal with the debris that's already in space by sending this craft up there in order to collect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious about this because one of the things I had thought at the very beginning when we mentioned this or alluded to this new idea that was coming up, they said that, you know, they would send up, it sounds like a lot of these, blasting thousands of tiny flat spacecraft into orbit, it said at the beginning of our article yesterday referring to this, and that then, you know, they're going to grab on and pull down the debris. But I was thinking that seems really expensive to blast thousands of, you know, aircraft up. But apparently they're saying it should be reasonably inexpensive, so they must have found some kind of material or way to create these that they think won't be too expensive.
And as Josh said earlier, weight is a huge concern. So I think the idea that these are, I saw a picture of it online. It's, they're relatively thin pieces. They're thin spacecrafts, as it says. It's a tiny flat spacecraft, and scientists are able to control it from Earth and navigate it and maneuver it towards this space junk. And basically it'll wrap itself around it, and then it'll pull it down out of orbit.
Now, what would be interesting is, I know this is still in the theoretical stage, so they're still working out exactly how this would work, but if they're able to come up with a relatively inexpensive, lightweight way to put these guys in, well, these spacecraft up there in order to collect debris, it would be interesting to see if, like, you know, eventually they would get to the point of anything that goes up into space, so any rocket, any satellite, any anything that people put up there would have to carry a couple of these with them so that they could help deploy them and help solve the problem, right? And so that would be a way for, like they say, many hands make light work, so that involve everyone who's involved in a space program to also be involved in the cleanup.
And take responsibility.
And to take responsibility, exactly.
All right, well, how does this brain craft work? Let's read the rest of our article and find out.
How it works. The brain craft would be a square, 1 meter wide and 1 meter high. Orbit data for documented debris would be uploaded to the craft, which would then navigate to the correct location through GPS. Once within about 650 feet of the target, onboard optical and radio frequency sensors would lock on and help the craft get close enough for a hug. When it finds an object, the spacecraft would fire those thrusters to drag the debris down to a lower orbit before dropping it. This is not the end of space. Establishing a junk removal market would require stricter enforcement of debris removal. Various regulations have been enacted by NASA, the U.S. government, and other international agencies. One U.S. rule states that a spacecraft must be removed from orbit within 25 years of its mission's end. For these deorbit technology and debris removal services to really have a market, the laws and regulations are still going to have to evolve where there's some teeth behind the regulations, said CEO Robert Hoyt of Tethers Unlimited.
So how does it work? We see a description of the brain craft here. Pauline, can you read that for us?
Yeah, so it says it would be a square, 1 meter wide by 1 meter high, and orbit data for debris that they know is out there would be uploaded to the craft along with navigation information. So it would actually have a GPS location attached to where it's supposed to go to find that debris. And once it's within about 650 feet of where they think that debris is, then the brain craft itself is able to turn on an optical and a radio frequency sensor that can help it find the exact location of that debris and then Give it a hug, it says.
So basically, it's going to wrap itself around this junk and remove it, basically. So how does that happen, actually?
So what it does is it fires thrusters in order to slow down the debris and bring it back into the atmosphere. So thrusters are basically rockets, but they're used for directional control in space,
right?
To help things move around. Now, the other interesting thing here is that now I know while it seems like 650 feet is, you know, pretty far distance, but actually in the terms of space, it's really like, it's sort of like getting very, very close, even though you've got these big, huge distances out there, right? So, and I know that, like when I use my GPS on my phone and I'm trying to find myself on Google Maps, sometimes there's a hard time, you know, placing me within 20 or 30 feet, and I really have to use the area around in order to figure out exactly where it is I'm going. So this is really pretty incredible stuff that they can put a 1 meter box within 650 feet of something and then be able to hone in on it and lock in and grab it and slow it down.
That's right.
This paragraph also did help me understand a little bit more about why this could be an inexpensive option, too, because for some reason, when they were first talking about it, I imagined that each time that the BrainCraft found a piece of debris, that it took it down with it, that they both went down into the atmosphere and burned up. But it sounds like somehow it's able to just drop the debris into the atmosphere and maybe go off before that and be saved and be used again. It doesn't say for sure, but it kind of leaves that up in the air, like maybe it's multi-use, maybe it can do it more than once.
Yeah, I don't think it's a one-time use thing. That that would be a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah, so I think they are able to, they did call it plastic wrap, but it is in actuality a spacecraft, so you can actually maneuver it and control it with a computer. Well, this is not the end of space, right? So now we're getting into what we talked about earlier about how there needs to be some restrictions and some regulations put in place, right?
That's very true. So what we're talking about here is that, you know, really, in order to get the junk removal market going, that it does require people to create some sort of regulation or some sort of agency that will make it, you know, worth everybody's while in order to follow up on not leaving all the junk in space.
Yeah.
Right, because otherwise, obviously, as we talked about, it takes a ton of time and money and effort to come up with the ideas and test it and have a solution for this space junk problem. And somebody has to be helping pay for that. And, you know, ultimately, no one group is just going to volunteer to do all of that or just come up with the money out of the blue. There needs to be a greater community that's really dedicated to that. And often the way that we do that is by putting regulations in place so that the companies that are making money off of putting those satellites in the atmosphere will also take responsibility for making sure that the space remains clean and safe and viable for the future.
Right. So I think it's interesting. It says how this new junk removal market would require stricter enforcement of debris removal. So basically, as we've been saying, there aren't that many rules, and therefore there aren't that many punishments.
Right, exactly. And it also makes it sound like even for some of the, you know, guidelines or regulations that have been set out, because there aren't any way to enforce it, that people aren't really so motivated in order to follow it, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you were honest, if there were no speed limit, how fast would you drive?
Right. Or if there was a speed limit, but there was no fine.
Right, exactly.
If you just got pulled over and said, please don't do that again.
Yeah.
Right. I would probably not really consider it too much of a problem to go speeding again after that. That's for sure. Right. But then if somebody gives me a ticket where I have to pay a lot of money, then, yes, that definitely would make me think more than just twice about speeding again.
Yeah. So one U.S. rule states that a spacecraft must be removed from orbit within 25 years of its mission's end. So a satellite is sent up into space and it operates for a while, but then it's stopping. But once it stops working, you will need to do something about it right away, and you have 25 years to do that.
Right, and I think, though, this highlights how difficult it's going to be to enforce all of this, because who is paying attention to exactly what satellites are up there
right.
25 years later? And we're not even saying 25 years after it was first placed in orbit. You're saying 25 years after its mission ended, after it finished. That's a long time, and who is keeping track of all of that?
Sure, yeah.
Well, you would hope that NASA would be one of the agencies keeping track of all that, but you make a very good point that now that you have so many people trying their hand at putting things into space, that there's no guarantee that 25, 30, 40 years later, that same corporation or that same body will still be in existence, because as we all know, 25, 30 years, a lot can change.
Yeah. So various regulations have been enacted by NASA, the U.S. government, and other international agencies. And basically, these companies are now working on what we call deorbit technology. That's an interesting word, deorbit. What is that referring to?
So that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with, like, the tethers, right? So technology that can take things that are in a constant orbit and then affect them so that they slow down enough in order to deorbit or come out of orbit and into the atmosphere.
Right.
I have to say, I just noticed the picture on the right-hand side of page 34. It shows the PAM-D rocket stage module, which crashed from space into the Saudi Arabian desert. If you look at that, it's a pretty big chunk of metal. It's kind of scary to see what a big piece of debris was able to make it through the atmosphere and land. Thankfully, apparently in the desert where nobody got hurt, but it's another reminder of why this is such an important issue to be considering.
That's right.
And that's actually, it's a very good comment, because there have been some things in space, like the Mir space station, huge space station, lots of working parts, lots of heavy parts, but also lots of parts like the rocket stage that you pointed out, Pauline, that are built specifically to withstand a lot of pressure and a lot of heat and could quite easily make it through the atmosphere if it's not really well coordinated exactly how the trajectory goes in order to make sure that it doesn't reach the ground. And you can still see that some big pieces, like even though you can tell that it's broken off of something else, relatively intact, crashing down to the Earth's surface.
Right. So there's a lot of junk out there, and people are trying to figure out what to do about it. And there are some solutions, but CEO Robert Hoyt of Tethers Unlimited, he says that in order for this to really have a market, the laws and regulations need to evolve where there's some teeth behind the regulations. So what does that mean? Are we giving them a mouth? Or?
Well, that's a very good question. And it's a little bit of a strange expression, right, to give something teeth. Well, it's sort of, it's similar to saying that you want to give something bite, right? And the idea here is that if you have a regulation or a law that somebody breaks, and then the consequence is just maybe a warning or a notice.
Right, or a slap on the wrist.
A slap on the wrist is a good example of another thing we would say that it doesn't really have much of a consequence. It's just a little slap on the wrist. In order to give something or a regulation teeth, you really need to make the fines or the consequences pretty drastic, right? So instead of like, you know, $5 for speeding, if it's $500, like, that's a different scale, right? Well, in this case, when they're talking about the space program, really they would have to give the regulation some teeth by making very substantial fines.
Right.
And that would be then worth a company's or an organization's while in order to hire another contractor and spend money on having them pull that debris that they're responsible for out of space, right?
But again, the problem is then who's responsible, right? Who gets to, what we say, police everything and make sure that it gets done?
And that's a big question, because so if that fine goes to, say, where does it go to? Who collects the money?
Exactly.
That money that they take, then will they turn around and, you know, use that to pay somebody in order to clean up the problem? Like, it's, it gets kind of complicated really quickly.
Yeah.
And those things need to be really well laid out so that everybody knows exactly how things work and can plan accordingly.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so it's an interesting problem that people are addressing, and there are different companies that are trying to come up with different solutions. And I think definitely, as we were just talking about, there do need to be some regulations, but the regulations also need to have some sort of teeth. There needs to be consequences for not following through, right? And so it's a big problem to tackle, but I'm sure people will figure it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the hope, right?
That's the hope.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, friends. Well, what did you think about this article? Do you have any thoughts? Maybe you have some ideas of what to do with this junk in space. If you do, let us know, and we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com. You can also check out our Facebook page and our website. And as always, remember to check out the QR code at the top of the page and our mobile website, m.studioclassroom.com. And you can get some more fun features and more information. Well, thanks for joining us, friends. We hope that you learned something, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.